Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the don't nearly view system deal. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
All right, I'll speak first then. You win. Yes. You're right.
Magic.
Been up to. Been that late London, haven't you?
Yeah, did with a bit of this and that. Did a bit of this and
that. Arson. Hey. This is Alison's Brew, all the brewers, it's now turned. Get involved in the chat, get involved in the comments, let us know what you think, and give us a like as well. So what are you doing in London?
Arsene Wenger and Rio. We're talking about the future of football, which I think right. The Premier League clubs have unanimously voted to fucking bat away.
That's off to a solid start then, isn't it?
I don't think that was the only thing they were talking about. Yeah. I mean, I actually didn't listen greatly and in depth to what they were talking about. Can we change the colour of the lights, please?
Weren't you directing this?
I was directing it, but I'm not listening. All I'm listening for is, does the audio sound good?
Right, okay.
And making sure the pictures are looking good.
I'm a mere novice. I'm a Luddite. I don't understand these things.
So I'm not necessarily listening to the deep cut. There we go. Bit of red light on.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
Roxanne.
Yes. Sorry, go on.
Didn't necessarily listen deeply to the concept, but I kind of knew the outline of what they were going to talk about anyway. So that was interesting. We did a podcast with Vincent Kompany afterwards.
Get out. This is a United podcast, mate. Oh, what are you, purple?
No, I'm not Pundit Jay.
Hey, he's my mate, Pundit Jay. Check out 3 points in the gaff.
But yeah, I mean,
he's all right though, isn't he? To be fair, really, I've interviewed him a few
really
times.
Sound,
he's
yeah.
sound, yeah.
And you do want to rate him. The missus mentioned something to us the other day. Like, he was a big advocate for helping the homeless in.
The fact you pointed.
Well, she's there.
People watching going,
she's right there.
How's he going, the missus?
Yeah, she's like right behind that camera. Blackpool, Tenerife. You know the game. So you want to rate him.
Yeah.
Because one, he was pretty good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
And two, he's easy to wait the way he played.
Like, without turning it, and we'll talk about this briefly, then we'll move on. But he wasn't one of those players that did things that you hate.
Suarez.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? He wasn't racist. He was just like.
He was just good.
He was just good, and he got stuck in. Which is
it's like, I can't hate Yaya Toure as much as like you theoretically want to.
No.
I got a lot of respect for Kompany, got a lot of respect for Aguero, got a lot of respect for Yaya Toure. They were all infinitely better players than the... Do you know what it is?
Go on.
I don't think they got their flowers.
Right, okay.
Whereas Steven Gerrard looked like he owned a florist.
God, I'll tell you one thing. I can't cope with this adulation that he's getting.
Madness,
I saw some tweet saying the return of the Premier League king.
Madness. Absolute madness. So I think that they were probably underappreciated. And I think, to a degree, all three of them slightly underappreciated, even by City fans.
I think Torre is.
Because
massively.
When Pep's like, I'm not having him and I'm not having him,
yeah.
City fans, because Pep's bigger than their fucking shit little club, they just have to do what he says. Mm-hmm. Whereas, I'm sorry, Yaya Toure is greater than any player that pulled a shirt on for City prior to him.
I think he's the best player I've seen for City. Let's not forget,
Yaya
Toure was underrated generally. I know, again, we'll move on quickly so this is turning into a bit of a City loving, but you remember that season where he scored 20 Premier League goals, won the title for him, right? Steven Gerrard slipped and cost him the title and yet came second behind Suarez in the voting for the player of the year.
Said about not getting the flowers. Yeah. I don't think they got their flowers in the slightest. But anyway, so Vincent Kompany, I asked him some questions and his answer was sensational.
Cool.
Like, if a United captain had said that,
go on, what did he say? There's one you told me about, but
I've emptied into my trousers.
Tell the viewers.
On the front. Rio was talking about preparing for the game.
What? You're such a wordsmith, Stephen.
He was talking about preparing for the game.
Yeah.
And Rio was like, I wanted to be the best centre half on the pitch, not just out of me and the manager, but out of you two and that as well. And, and he was like, so how did you prepare for the games to company? And he goes, I just wanted to kill everyone, to be honest. I was like, I resonate with that on so many levels.
That is, the one thing I didn't like about
Vince. And I think I just said to him, and he played like that as well.
He did, didn't he, to be fair? One thing I didn't like about him, though, is he said I look like Fabian Delph, which I didn't like. no matter how accurate that may have been. It's what he said when he did once. He was talking about Fabian Delph, and went, you look like him, actually.
So it's coming out Monday. It's Monday. Honestly, I think, one of the best podcasts
I've ever done. What was Wenger like? Because, I don't know, I can't make my mind up with Wenger. Like, there's part of me that thinks, okay, yeah, late 90s, early noughties, got to respect it. United, the Arsenal and United rivalry has never been seen before or since in the Premier League.
Yeah.
For 7 years, the only teams that won the Premier League were United or Arsenal. And during that time, we won the treble. Arsenal had that season where they drew 12 games. It was like there was seminal moments.
Twice.
Yeah. There was seminal moments during that. So you have to sort of respect that because it pushed us to new levels, and it did, and he did. But then there's part of me that thinks he lost the plot a bit. And you don't sell us.
And I think this is one of those things about,
this is why I'm
as a manager, lost it.
Okay, cool.
Like, did Fergie lose it in the mid-noughties? Or was a team full of Jemba Jemba, Mikel Sylvester and fucking Darren Gibson maybe not quite good enough to compete with the best Chelsea team we've seen in decades?
I understand that. I think the sort of the response I would say to that is, you're right, but there was planning there. He was not taking a time off, but he was planning for the future because Ronaldo, you had Rooney, you had these players that were, you know, that needed a couple of years.
Arsenal's problem was the move to the Emirates. That financially hamstrung them. So, like, do you think he wanted to? Was it Jeremy Alli-Adier up front? Like, do you think he wanted that over Terry Henry and his ilk?
Yeah, no,
of course he didn't. He built teams. You know, he pulled Vieira out of Italy. I think it was AC Milan he got.
No, you're right. Yeah.
He had some fantastic. The French ones are very well known, but obviously he got Terry Henry and Vieira from Italy.
Nicholas and Elkers. I was watching that documentary, which I didn't think was that good, but you know, he fought to get him from Paris Saint-Germain, I think, when he was 17.
Anelka, Arsenal versions of Anelka was a fucking handful. It was an absolute handful. And he was sensationally good. And I actually think what he got from Anelka made him sign Terry Henry.
Do you know what thing? I think you got a good point there. Especially in the 99 season when we won the treble. Anelka's, some of the goals he scored were ridiculous.
He scored like 23 goals,
didn't you? Yeah, but loads of them, you know, from outside the box, like into the bottom corner, I remember him. But I think the main issue with Wenger, which is one thing he didn't have that Fergie always had, I think he couldn't keep older players when he needed to. I think Fergie recognised, I need this guy. Don't get me wrong, there's exceptions. Ronaldo eventually had to go, but he got another season out of him. He knew, like, Eric, I'll do whatever I can to keep him. Whereas Wenger would just go, Van Persie, you want to go at United? Go on then.
Yeah, I think that was... but again, you don't know what the financial constraints were. And I think they were the massive hamstringing for him. I think he's a fascinating listen. He's a real statesman. And he's got real charisma about him. And out of just respect of what he achieved in the game, I'll take the piss out of him on a podcast all day long.
Yeah, of course you
will. But you know, when you're in his presence, I didn't even speak to him.
Thought you'd have been right there because you're into your coaching and that.
A bit of a networking event. There's a ton of agents there. There was a load of ex-players there. And me and fucking Ronaldo just sat on the sofa.
Hey, take the boy out of East Manchester.
We ended up sitting on the sofa with Rio, but like not... wasn't just completely
right,
out of
just
the
getting
woods.
A Greggs and sitting on the sofa when the, you know,
everything's going on around you. It's busy. That was the first event we as Studio 68 as a business really had produced live, certainly on that scale.
Yeah, that's mad. That
so personally, professionally, I was very nervous about, you know, none of the tech failing, nothing like that. But obviously, we put on a good stream. It looked good. It sounded good. So I was just relieved that I didn't have to start shouting at people anymore. So I just went and sat at the back and was like, right, done. You know, I thanked Jill and I thanked Arson, and that was all I said to them both. I was just like, thank you. It was
professional head on. Did a good job as well, bro. Seriously, well done. I know you put a lot of work into it, so it's good to see it coming to fruition.
Was London for the first half of the week.
Yeah.
So missed the podcast on Monday for it.
Well, there wasn't much to talk about, to be honest, if you didn't miss much. Nothing happening at United.
There really isn't nothing happening at United, though.
At United.
So I mean, I'm seeing, and I'm sure... about. We can see it on the thumbnail here behind us. Like, where's this Brendan Rodgers talking?
Well, I wanted to ask you about this because there's a few things I need to ask you about on that thumbnail. Starters, who's the geezer on the next to him?
Ralph Ragnick.
Is he real him or what? I had to double check.
He's a genuine non-fiction character.
Right. Is he good?
As a coach, he had some good and some bad appointments. But again, I think every good coach has had some what the fuck happened there kind of appointments.
Yeah.
I think he's more of a director of football kind of character. I think he's a guy that is more of a football administrator now than a hands-on coach. He might, I mean, we're saying this without need, without actually technically having a managerial vacancy, but I understand the scenario in. I think if you don't beat Watford at weekend next week, there very much might be a managerial vacancy. Yeah. And there very much should be a managerial vacancy if that's the case. But as it stands, there is obviously currently speculation about where you go from here. I actually don't think United... I think United's decision's been made. I think the fact that we entered international break, I think that Monday, Tuesday, last week, this week, was critical.
That was peak.
I think he could have gone then, but with him not going then,
yeah,
especially when he got on a plane, because I thought, you can sack him when he's on the plane, because then he doesn't have to have that whole getting on the plane thing
where
he gets mivered. I thought that would have been quite a nice thing to do, to sort of like, all right, you want to make the statement? All right, cool. Can you give me 20 minutes to get out of here?
No, that's fair.
But obviously, that's not happened.
No.
So that's the decision. The decision is, clearly, for the foreseeable. Now, I've got issues with that. And one of my issues is, supposedly, Richard Allen doesn't want the first thing he does when he takes over to be sacking Solskjaer.
I've heard this, yeah, a couple of times. We put it to Laurie well. He says, I think he said, I've not heard that, but I can understand that being true with that.
But also,
case,
the evidence is there that this is the case. You know, Woodward doesn't want the last thing he does to be sacking Solskjaer.
Yeah, I think that's so similar to what Laurie was saying.
Sorry, mate, that's your fucking job.
Yeah, that's what Joe put to Laurie. I know it's not Laurie's responsibility, just as a report. He was saying, like, the benefit of the club is what should be at the foremost front of your mind. What is best for the club? Not what is best for Ed Woodward or best for Richard Arnold. What is best for Manchester United? Now, if the best move for Manchester United is we get another manager in, then so be it. And if it isn't, then okay. But not, how is this going to affect my standing? How is this going to affect my legacy?
This is the entire problem with that managerial group.
Yeah.
Is that everyone wants it's the Instagram model thing. They want the appearances of success without willing to put the fucking work in.
Good analogy.
You want paying $5 million a year, Edward, right?
Yeah.
How about you put your fucking thumb up out from under your ass and actually do some work? You're paid to be the CEO of Manchester United. How about make some decisions like you're the fucking CEO of Manchester United? Now, if the decision that you've made is, Solskjaer's my man, okay, cool. Come out and say that.
Yeah.
Stand behind him, because this speculation does nobody any good.
It doesn't. And I feel you're right. I feel like there's an element of, we're taking a step back. If he does lose to Watford, then we'll get rid.
It's cowardly.
Yeah, there's neither here nor there. There's no, like you say, Woodward could come out and he could say, listen, and it might even be a message to the players that they need and say, don't think if you don't turn up on Saturday, he's not going to be here a week later.
Correct.
He is. He's here to the end of the season. So if this shit goes down, he's going down with him as the captain. He's here. So you deal with it.
Yeah.
Or he could say, you know, we could sort of start looking for the managers, letting, you know, have
but
a word
you could
with
still
Ole and say to Ole, right, you know what, it's not working out. Give you no 2 weeks' notice, so you know.
I think the board would be well within their rights and well within respect for the manager currently to come out and say either the decision that we're making currently is that we were going to give Ole the full run of this season, and we'll make a decision at the end of the season. If it continues as it is, then I think you can see what's going to happen. However, he'll be given the opportunity to turn that around, and we hope he does, and he's here with us for the long term. I don't think Ollie could have an issue with that.
No.
And by the same rule, they could come out and say, is he under pressure? Yeah, he fucking is under pressure. If, you know, what have we won, like 2-5, 2-7, something
somewhere,
like that feels like. They could come out and say, as it stands, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is our manager, but we are under no illusion that results must improve. If they do not improve, we will be forced to act. And again, I don't think that's being disrespectful to the manager.
Being
but this
logical in it, to be
nonsense
fair.
Of just coming out and saying fucking nothing and just like, they're probably going to announce a new tractor sponsor or some shit like that. You're ignoring the elephant in the room. You have to address the results.
Yep.
And you have to come out and say, either he's our man and he's got to the end of the season, or there's a way of nicely saying, look, he's under pressure.
Yeah.
And if he's under pressure, I think that gives you the license to start talking to the likes of Brendan Rodgers. Because what it doesn't do, when you're a manager, or if you're a manager and you hear things like United have sounded out Brendan Rodgers, Well, that's more disrespectful than putting your cards on the table, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree completely. Just on the Rodgers front, because this one sort of came a little bit out of nowhere and then seems to be gathering some momentum. And now I feel like I'm in a position where a lot of fans, and you know, you might not be one of them watching, but a lot of fans are now trying to convince themselves of like, all right, okay, well, maybe Rodgers isn't that bad. And I keep hearing this argument of he's better than Ollie, and I think that's not the be-all and end-all. Whether you agree with that or not, it should be more than just he's better than Ollie. It should be, is he good enough to challenge Pep and Klopp and Tuchel? Is he up to that job? Is he up to the job of managing the egos of Ronaldo and Pogba and Bruno and, you know, nurturing the youngsters like Greenwood and whoever else comes through, you know, whether it's Elanga or Tevin Mengi or whatever. Has he got that in him? Has he got all those components you want from a Manchester United manager?
Can you name a youth player that he's brought from an academy into a first team regular?
No, we're having this discussion on one of the podcasts was on because someone was talking about Harvey Barnes, but he was like, he's a bit older than him. I don't think he brought him through. I think they didn't. He came through, but it wasn't.
Is Hamza Chowdhury one of them, perhaps?
Maybe. He's not renowned for.
Right, that. Okay, so cool. Though, so that's probably an exit.
I know they
box.
Bought him, maybe Sterling at Liverpool, but they bought him from QPR, but he gave him a chance, didn't he? That's not so the same thing.
You could have an exit in that box.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Am I bothered by the Liverpool connection? Yeah, I am, actually. Yeah. Right? I was raised right. for all of the people who, and I've had numerous, what about Dennis Law? What about Sir Matt Busby? What about them? You're a fucking absolute imbecile if you don't think football and the rivalry between Manchester United and Liverpool and City as well has changed since the 30s and the 60s to now. Munich happened. Those fan bases' responses to that thing happening has changed those rivalries. Did I cheer Michael Owen's goal? You're fucking right I did. Didn't clap him coming on, no, did I? And I still never took to him. And he can still fuck off as it stands right now. Scouse swat.
Right. Well, with that, all that being said, the Liverpool rivalry is one thing. You know my thoughts on Liverpool rivalry as well.
Where's the loyalty, Jay?
Yeah, get that. My thing would
People's be... People's like, oh, so you're saying you wouldn't take Pep and Klopp? That's exactly what I'm saying.
My thing would be, though, if I thought... Right, I'll be honest with you, this is where I think we're slightly different. I understand everything you're saying, but I think if I thought Rodgers comes in and wins a title, I'd be up for it because I think actually that would stick the knife in with the Scousers because he'd be like, wow, he couldn't do it with us.
That was the only acceptance with Jose. Yeah, you're like, well,
he'll come in and he'll, you know, I'd love to see. Stuff. And I did a tweet joking about, you know, I'd love to see him lift the title with United and he waves to Gerrard in the opposite dugout and say, that's how it's done, you slippy person. I'm on a thing, not swearing, I promise my kids. But it's a task. But especially sat next to you talking about Brendan Rodgers. But if you just ignore, which is a big thing to ignore, I give you that. If you ignore the fact that, you know, Liverpool, do you think he's got what it takes? If he comes in, can he succeed? You might not want him here, but if he's the manager of Manchester United next month, right, can he win us a title?
To
can
get Ollie out of the job, League? There has to be an obvious upgrade. Now, a lot of people are going, he is an obvious upgrade. Okay, cool. So here's the logic that you're trying to throw out at me, right?
Go on.
The logic that you are trying to throw at me is that a man that has competed in the same league as him and never finished above him is better than him. And that's the man that's going to close the distance on the two guys that we can't catch with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And you go, okay, well, look at the starting 11 that he's got. Okay, let's look at the starting 11 that he's got. I think Leicester's starting 11, squad depth's different, but starting 11 has got less weaknesses, if not, it certainly doesn't have the same sort of reach as Manchester United's best players, but it's got less weaknesses than Manchester United's. And you might say, well, that's a positive. Brendan Rodgers helped build that. Yeah, I'll give you that. I will give you that. He's been a part of building quite a solid Premier League team there. But the starting 11 that he's pissing with has less weaknesses than the one that Ollie's dealing with, yet he finishes below it. So how can you logically reconcile that the man to close the gap on the teams that are above us has never finished above the guy that he's replacing?
When we went there, we were sat, me and you were over the other side of the studio, and we went to the King Power, didn't we? United, obviously not us, we were here. That two seasons ago on the last day, and it needed a little bit of mathematics for Leicester to finish above us. The first thing they had to do was beat us. They didn't, we beat them.
And that's happened multiple times under Rodgers.
And it does feel like don't tell there is me that thing of trouble of him getting over the line. Yeah. And you can point at the Steven Gerrard slip, and that's, you know, not Brendan Rodgers' fault. But you think
it is playing Steven Gerrard as the six.
You played him as the six. You said, right.
It's like people that are looking at Fred now and putting that on Fred and not Ollie. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, exactly. And also, how do you react to that? Because what Rodgers did on that game, if you remember that game, he left him on And Gerrard took it upon himself to try and shoot from every distance he could.
Oh, it's not like him.
Try, I know, yeah. Where a stronger manager might have just said, I'm taking you off.
And also Chris Hamble happened after that, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Like 3-0 up against Palace and they draw 3-0. So there is that element with him. And okay, he won the FA Cup, which is a trophy I respect, and he did a very good job at that because it was against Tuchel and Chelsea. But there is an issue there with getting over the line, and it's a and train that keeps going.
Recently.
Sorry?
I know Redknapp won one recently. Bobby Martin has won one recently. It's a cup competition. Your bread and butter is your league.
This is a
now,
point.
I always said I'd never diminish anybody that's won a league title. No. Right? Winning a league title is good. But for all the people that are saying that winning the Norwegian league is a load of old arse with a team that's never won it, Brendan Rodgers went in, what, when Celtic had won 4 or 5 on the bounce and won another 3 with them? What a fucking genius. Sorry. Yeah. How did he do that?
Yeah.
No, I think he did it undefeated, right?
Yeah. No, his record itself is good. I'm not going to disparage that. But you're right. You can't have it both ways. If you're going to say, what Ollie did at Norway doesn't count. In Norway, sorry, doesn't count. But Rodgers in Celtic, that doesn't make any sense to me. You either count them both or neither of them. Son Patrick McDade has been a member of the Academy for 12 months. Thanks for your support. Says David Brent as manager, not a chance. I don't agree with that. In the workplace, very good.
You heard the quotes off the guy?
Go on, you did one before. What was it? Was it
can live with many days without water, but you can't live a single minute without hope.
What's that about? What are you talking about?
That's literally an office quote, isn't it? Literally a quote out of the fucking
that
office.
That deluded Rodgers thing, that the account that started. When that started, I think a lot of people thought that was real. Like, those were his real quotes. Because he has got a penchant for the odd... I'm gonna try and find a few now, so we're not just...
They're insane.
Yes, there's... let me have a look here. I'm going to bring up some of his quotes. You know, we... Right, yeah. There's quite a lot. I'm trying to...
It's great for the public here at Sunderland to see us. They must have been wondering what this team is everyone's talking about.
I believe a young player will run through a barbed wire fence for you. An older player looks for a hole in the fence.
I use a quote with the players, per aspera ad astra, which is Latin for through adversity to the stars.
Here's one for you. I really hate Steven Gerrard. He cost me a title. The slippy, absolute waste of space. Wow, I didn't really say that. I might have made that one up. So not a big no from you then. All right, here's one for you. Because the one name that everyone sort of agrees with, United would have if he was available. Another journalist we speak to, yep, he's got a lot of respect within the United hierarchy. They see him as a potential future Manchester United manager, and I know you wait till I've asked you the question.
Steve Bruce.
No, not Steve Bruce. Right. We'd have Steve Bruce because I love him. Hey, 19 goals in a season. Kevin De Bruyne's never done that. But the one
fucking strikers who've never done that.
I know.
A lot of them.
Exactly. Is Pochettino. Now, I know he's not available at the minute because he's marrying. He's managing some club in France. But I'm going to put it to you because you have a similar opinion on both Rodgers and Pochettino. If, and it's a big if, Pochettino's available and the board have a decision to make and they go, right, it's either Rodgers or Poch. And you can't say neither. Who are you going for?
Can I liquidate the club?
No, we're in this together forever.
Fuck's sake.
You know the rules. That's not an option. We're not one of those who go, I'm not going to support United anymore because we're not very good.
I'd probably go with Poch.
Wow. You must really hate Rodgers.
He's a cringeworthy... Don't he give you the ick when you look at him?
Do you know what, right?
And you listen to him speak and you just think, you smell your own farts. I know you do, right? For starters. And you love it when you do.
I just feel like United really have took the banter era thing by the scruff of the neck and like embraced it.
You were pouring an ex-Liverpool literal parody of a fucking character on The Office that's won but an FA Cup.
Yeah.
And he's going to topple perhaps 3 of the greatest managers that Europe's seen in many a year.
Yeah.
Really? Fucking really?
Here's one for you then. Because you've been one of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's most prominent vocal supporters and, you know, I understand that rightly so. I've been with you all the way. Can he turn it around? Do you see a scenario, Ole? Because we've had the Rodgers scenario, the Poch scenario, the Ten Hag, we did that the other week, Ralph Rangnick and all this other stuff. We're forgetting at the moment, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the manager of Manchester United. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the one, as far as we're concerned, who's going to be picking the team for the Watford game.
Yeah.
Is there a scenario you believe where he can get a tune out of these players? You've been in, I know it's different strokes before anyone gets involved, but you've been, you know, coaching and managing yourself. Do you look at him and go, he could motivate these players and turn around? Because this is a guy who has finished third, he's finished second, he's beaten Tuchel a couple of times, he's beaten Klopp, he's beaten Guardiola. Can he turn this around?
In all honesty, it doesn't feel like he can.
Right, okay.
And that was the turning point, because up until summer, his remit was finish inside the Champions League and overhaul the club,
yep.
Which I think he would do, right? So you can argue on whether he could have won a trophy while he was doing that, and I think he should have won the Europa League, I think, at least. And ultimately, trophies are what you are measured on. And he should have won a trophy. Not winning the trophy but still getting Champions League qualification shouldn't result in the automatic sacking, like, which is what I think some of the fucking children who follow us really believe that.
We do appreciate your support, though. Thanks for keep following us.
But you're a fucking child, so relax. So I think you have to have allowed him up until that point. The minute he got Varane, who's obviously been injured, Sancho, who hasn't played, and Ronaldo, the expectation shifts and changes, because now you're dealing with a better calibre of player and a better calibre of squad. The problem Ollie's got is that not only did this expectation level from here get risen to here,
yeah,
our performances that were here have dropped to here, or yeah, maybe even further. So the gap between where we were, are and should be has increased. And I don't think that's entirely on the manager. I think some of the individual performances, Shaw, Maguire,
that left-hand side of our defence is just Fred, gone to the dogs.
Marcus completely. Being out, right. You know, the whatever's going on with Sancho. There's things at play here that yeah, have played into it. But there's still fundamental things that are in that management's control that we haven't fucking dealt with.
No.
That they haven't done a good enough job dealing with. Or they haven't, you know, 2 weeks ago we switched it up to a back three. And seemingly it worked out of nowhere and we just persisted with it for the next couple of weeks. But we knew, we was having conversations saying, where's he going to play Pogba? Because he shoehorned him in on the left and it worked for Newcastle and Leeds games. He ain't going to play there when Marcus gets back. So is this temporary? It told me there and then that he didn't know what he was going to be doing.
This worries me, because me and you did a podcast or a preview 2 years ago or something, and he'd done something similar where he'd gone at a back three, it worked for a week, and he'd stuck with it, and then it hadn't worked. And you said that's a criticism you've got of him. Sometimes he does, he'll try something and think, oh, that's the new system now, regardless of the fact that the opponent's changed. Yeah. So that is a worry when we're 2 years down the line.
That's still sort of happening.
I remember you saying it.
Ultimately, it's a results business. Yeah. And if he'd have been, I mean, like, Chelsea are not playing well. No one's prepared for that conversation at the moment, though. Chelsea are not playing well. They are scraping through games. But you know what the important thing in that is? They're scraping through the fucking games, Jay. Yeah.
We've won titles.
Aren't they top of the league at the moment?
Yeah.
Right. So, ultimately, whether it's performance or results, people are taking the results.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you'll go, well, do you know what? The performances might improve, but we're still getting the results. At the moment, people are looking at United and going, at the start of the season, well, we picked up a couple of results, the performance wasn't bad, and then it changed and the performances were dreadful and we weren't getting the results.
That's the big thing that disappoints me, though, because, like, City have lost to Palace, drew with Southampton, lost to Spurs this season, lost, I know it's different, but lost against Paris Saint-Germain in the Champions League. The Scousers got beat off West Ham the other day, drew with Brentford. No one's having it all their own way. Mm. This isn't City 100 points a few years ago, no. But we're not involved in the conversation because we've been that bad where we're dropping so many points where even if we'd have beat, I know it's a big if, but even if we'd have just beat Villa and Everton, we'd be level with the Scousers now on points, and it's a different conversation.
If we'd have beat them, we'd be level with them, or above them.
Yeah, it's a different chat in it, that because all of a sudden you're going, okay, this isn't what we expected, but it's not panic
stations. These are the fine margins that exist.
I know it's a big hit, by the way, before people start going.
And yeah, not only is it a case of, oh, if we'd have just turned around that tiny little 5-0 dicking that we got at home. It's a big thing for us to overall.
If we just protested again and got that game postponed like we did the other year, we'd been all right.
But yeah, I think there are signs there where you go, listen, the job you had done up until summer, you can't be revisionist and say that he should have. Like, people was like, I was telling you 2 years ago that he should have gone, all right, well, 2 years ago, you were fucking wrong.
Yeah, no. Like, I've always said this with Ollie, like, me and Scotty, when we chat, Scotty's been an advocate of getting rid of Ollie for a little while. He just doesn't think he's up to the job. And I've always said, when I've spoken to him, because he makes good case, he's not just, no, just get rid of him. He has a point that he's making. He just doesn't think he can get us where we need to be. But my argument has always been, he's deserved that end of the season, the next season. So when he got to third,
he's hit the minimum expectation.
Yeah. You don't sack someone who gets you to third.
He's not impressed. He's not took it. He's not gone, oh my, wow.
Yeah.
But he's hit the minimum expectation that the Glazers have set. It's not necessarily our minimums. But I think the Glazers have shown you in their history.
I'm not going to lie. Like, when we finished third in that Premier League season, okay, I'm not going to go, when's the parade we finished third? But I thought, I'm happy with that in terms of a stepping stone to next season. I'm happy with what he's doing. When we finished second last season, I think, okay, he deserves another season. I'm happy with this.
If we'd have picked up the Europa League at the end, you come second in the Europa League.
I know.
That's a pretty good season in the grand scheme of things.
I think that's cost him that, because I think now, had he won that, we're having a different conversation, because you're giving him a little bit more leeway. He's going, he won Europa, finished second. We know he's not an idiot. We know we can do this. Let's give him a bit more time.
And that on the motivation of the players as well. Like, when you speak to any players, and they'll tell you they're internally motivated. They're not motivated by a manager.
Oh, I know. I mean, that is a little bit of a worry. Funny Grow in the Super Chat says, I recognise what Ollie's trying to do. I don't think they fire Ollie. Any chance for any Merlinstein joins the coaching team? He's coached it successfully. What do you reckon with that? I mean, we asked him, didn't we? We didn't ask him, sorry. He couldn't talk. Is he tied up at the minute, Rennie? You know, he's like...
He's with Australia, but that's about it, I think.
Yeah, I think it's not a case of as easy as he can do. I don't know. Maybe it's different if he got the call. But as far as we know, there hasn't been that conversation. And I always worry me when it's a manager's under pressure and the answer is change the coaching staff or bring in another coach, because I think it undermines it a little bit. I think you get rid of the manager or you don't. I think bringing another coach is sort of saying the manager ain't up to the job, so I'm going to come and help him. But you've still got that bit of the manager ain't up to the job.
Yeah.
And I think if you're Ronaldo and you're sitting here going, "Raw, they've had to bring in another coach because this manager is telling me what to do, I don't know what he's doing."
But this is the thing, is people misapportion what... Here's the thing. Ultimately, the manager is responsible for whatever gets assembled.
Yeah.
We all know Ollie's not taking training. So if the training ain't good enough, it is on the coaches that's...
Do you hate him, Kieran McKenna?
I've never had a training session with him.
Nah, that's a fair comment.
The only things that I've heard of... That,
unlike most of Twitter, he seems to have
I've spoken to
analysis,
first team and academy players who said he's extremely good. And I saw someone the other day say... Someone made a list of how everyone had failed. Like Mike Phelan failed with Hull. All right, we're going to ignore the fact he was United's assistant from 99 to 2013 when we was relatively successful and European champions. All right, no matter. And the Kieran McKenna failed at Tottenham. He was headhunted by United. Yeah. He was considered a shining star at Tottenham. Yeah, we gave him to our academy. He won the league with our academy. He was promoted to the first team under Jose, I think.
The thing is as well, with managers, Carlos Queiroz, flopped at Real Madrid. He went to...
You speak to any player that was trained by him and they were like, genius is the word.
Yeah, we won the Champions League with Carlos Queiroz in the dugout. Steve McLaren, I know he had some success, but he pretty much flopped as England manager, flopped at, Wolfsburg where he went to...
Won the treble with him.
Yeah. So, it's that old thing. Kiddo went to Blackburn and got relegated within 3 months, whatever it was. Won title after title alongside Fergie. So it's not just a case of, these people failed as managers. There's a couple of super chats I'll get into. Redman07 says, clear sign that the end is near is when we're considering appointing someone called Ragnarok. Not all on Ollie. Being far too costly individual player errors. I agree with that as well. Rabu says, Steve said Fergie's earned the right to burn the place down if he wants to. Reports suggest Fergie's asked the board to give him more time. Do you buy into those reports? You think Fergie might be saying to the board, give my...
Where do they come from?
I mean, I don't know. Didn't he go to get a suit the other week and people were losing their minds? Brian Malone says, you can't say if we had won X or Y. If we are giving United hypothetical points, then City, Liverpool should be giving theirs too. It balances out. It does. I think the point we're making is it's not been... It's annoying for me because I think there is an element of, I don't see this having an happy ending. Yet we've just been three or four games, not even that, maybe two games where... We could have avoided all this. We could have.
Yeah, but
we could have done it.
Even if you'd have picked up a couple of better results, the performances have been objectionably shit.
They have been. I mean, there's no denying that the performances have been unreal. And the thing is, we were sat here and, the emotion kicks in and when Ronaldo returned and you look at it, you go...
Mate, you scored a lot of last-minute winners.
What a goal.
Job
done. No, I'm not having a go at him, but, we got Varane, which I was buzzing about because I didn't see that one happening. Sancho, finally... After all that saga, you throw Ronaldo in there, that's a mint window, that's like icing on the cake.
One of our best windows.
We had that debate, and I think there's the argument 2007 when we bought in Tevez, Hargreaves, Nani and Anderson. But
pretty good window.
Yeah, it's a pretty decent window. But you're right, other than the window where we signed Brian
Robson. And it's going exactly the same way, kind of.
yeah. I mean, I wanted to ask you a question, actually, right? Scotty put this on his... We were talking about Scotty before, if I can find it. He put...
Is it about when we played Montpellier on the run to winning the 1991 Cup Winners' Cup final?
No, but it's connected to that because all roads lead to that, right?
Give me any...
Well, this is the
random
question.
Commenter, give me a topic.
Yeah, give him, right, random commenter, get in here, give him a topic.
I'll move it all the way back to Rotterdam.
Right, so Scotty asked, which managers had the most players that went on to become successful managers in their own right? He said, or he suggested, Lippi, because he's got Zidane, Conte, Deschamps, Vieira, any more? You've had a few theories on this, so I've heard you talking about this.
Probably Cruyff.
It's Cruyff, your boy, isn't
it? I think Cruyff, when you look at like people he's worked with, and what's come out from under him.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously he's got Rijkaard, he's got Hullet, he's got Pep Guardiola, he's got Blind, and then obviously you've got the...
Yeah, you can say, because someone has put that in the response, Enrique, Koeman, Blanc, De Boer, Van Gaal were with him.
Mourinho was his translator.
Yeah, so there's loads.
Well, sort of come after us, yeah.
Because my sort of suggestion was similar. So Bobby Robson had Guardiola... I can never say the guy at Sevilla's name, you know what I mean? You can pronounce that.
Oh, Locatelli.
Yeah, Blanc and Enrique. But Cruyff is like the main one who's... Is he the reason we've all got to blame for all this tick-attacker thing that's, you know, everyone's into now?
In a way, yeah. I mean, there's a brilliant book called The Mixer by Michael Cox, who's blocked me on Twitter because he's a knob, but...
He's blocked me? I don't know if he has blocked me on Twitter, but I pulled him up about an article during lockdown.
Yeah, if you argue about him with anything... And I wasn't even abusive. I was just like, you're wrong. Because he was in favour of the 3pm blackout staying in place. And I said, all right, cool. So when United play away, you're suggesting those 76,000 people are going to go watch Altrincham or something. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, right, well, the numbers don't suggest that.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, the only people who, like, he was like, he basically said, no one illegally streams. And I'm like, you're fucking an idiot. He was like, my 78-year-old neighbour illegally streams. He's like, you would say that. You're an internet person. What the fuck does that mean? Wasn't real.
You're not real. He is here. This is real. This isn't just an internet facade.
Not a mirage.
He's sat there. Peter Kelly says, Maguire and Shaw are too comfortable. Came back from the Euros with their head up their ass. Thinly, they're better than they are. They are slack and not working hard enough. Knee drop. Where do you stand on it is a question for you. Because there's a school of thought that they might be, let me finish. They might be emotionally drained. They've lost the final, an England final. You know, Luke Shaw scored in that final. He's 20 minutes or whatever it was. I can't remember the exact time, away from being the biggest hero the nation's seen since Bobby Moore. They lose it. Harry Maguire goes to penalties. Maguire scores, but they lose the final. That's a big sort of... Do you buy into that? Because a lot of the England lot haven't done well this season. There's this thing that maybe it has been a bit of a drain for them emotionally and mentally, because they've had to go through all that, being, you know, the nation's darlings, and you're riding high, and then you have that massive disappointment at the end, and then it's the bump and grind of the Premier League.
Possibly. You've also got going the distance in a tournament, also takes it out of you in a big way. Although I don't know if anyone is from the Italian side is suffering or not.
Do you think that plays into it though? The fact that
if you win, you're all right.
Yeah, maybe, you know what I mean? Because you've got season, that euphoria. Yeah, and you just carry it on with you and everyone, yeah, this is great, this is buzzing. Do you know what I mean? It makes laugh, because Kino in his book, I think his first one that he did with Eamon Dunphy, says about how he struggled after 99 because he said a lot of players came back, a few of them you know who they were. And they had the attitude of, not all of them, but like, don't matter if we don't win anything again now, we've just won the, do you know what I mean? And his thing was, he didn't play in the final and he was hungry to and he said maybe...
Roy Keane could have played every minute and then some and still would have had the same attitude.
Yeah,
the season,
and he said felt like some players didn't have that. Some players
fucking
felt
told
like,
them, didn't
he? Yeah, we've done it now.
But I had that vibe about Liverpool when they won the title. I thought they over-celebrated it was like, it felt like that was the end of something rather than the beginning of something, whereas I thought in 93 when we won the league it felt like the beginning of a dominance, and it obviously turned out to be that. Whereas that Liverpool thing, especially when you look like a lot of the players, like I think like Salah and Van Dijk and Matip, like they're all 30.
Yeah, it's not a young team, and it's weird because people think it is. People always go, it's only Jordan Henderson who's getting... Well, no, they're all like late 20s, early 30s.
It really felt like the end of something.
And also, they had that massive drop-off, didn't they, last season, where they just sort of literally just lost, was it 6 at home on the spin. Obviously, got their act together again this season. For me, Liverpool, and I know they beat us 5-0, so it's just better. They're a good team, but they're so reliant on Salah. I think it's just, to a lesser degree, Van Dijk, but I think Salah's, you know, so important to them. It's all about whether he's...
We've got a topic from here to link back to...
Well, Mank Mike just quickly says, not football related, but I think important this time of year, just want to say thanks, Steve, for the services gave this country. Massive respect. Yeah, echo that. Right, let me see if I can find... right, well, no one's actually done it, right? He asked for a topic, right? About anything, yeah? Anything you want, and he will link it back to Rotterdam 1991. And yet, all I've got is about... Right, here's one. Newton Heath.
Newton Heath? Google me when the first international football match was for England.
First England international football match was, my friend, 1872, I think it was.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was between Scotland and England.
It was between Scotland and England.
Yeah.
It was in Glasgow, I think.
Partick, is that near Glasgow? Is that Glasgow? I don't know. Sorry for the Scottish viewers now screaming at me. Yes, it is. How do you know that?
I don't know. Why do I know that? But you can link, basically, you know, the Scottish team played tic-a-tac-a. And there's a lineage of, I think it was, is it Queen of the South? One of those queens or something or other. Yeah.
Queen's Park. Teams. Queen's Park, I think it is.
So basically, it was England versus Queen's Park because they were the serious football team in Scotland. Okay, they represented Scotland.
Yeah.
They played tic-a-tac-a. England at the time played a bit more of a rugby union style rushing game. And they thought the best move was to pass it around them and not let England get anywhere near it. And I think they got a 0-0 win, right?
Yeah.
Scotland went on to win like 14 of their first 12 internationals by playing a tic-a-tac-a game, a record that I don't think they've ever been close to repeating.
Right.
Now, one of the players that played in that for Queen's Park moved, I believe, to like Middlesbrough or Sunderland.
Yep.
And became a footballer. Who was the geezer that was the manager of Tottenham when they won the double? Bill Nicholson.
Yep.
Right? He coached Bill Nicholson. And he coached a guy called Vic Buckingham. Vic Buckingham moved to Amsterdam, where he became an English teacher and also involved with the Ajax Amsterdam Football Club. While he was at the Ajax Amsterdam Football Club, he taught English to a young boy called Johannes Cruyff. Johan Cruyff grew up to be the greatest player of his generation and the next two. Also become one of the most influential godfather figures in the world of football, spawning such... children following him, such as Louis van Gaal, Jose Mourinho, Pep Guardiola, Luis Enrique, Ronald Koeman, amongst a couple. And of course, played against Sir Alex Ferguson in 1991 in Rotterdam, where the greatest footballing achievement of all time was made.
Sir, well done. Adnan78 says, turkey Twizzlers. Don't, because you will, and I don't want you to. Don't. Stop. We've got more super chats before you start. Nick Albany says, not impressed with Maguire as our captain either. Not exactly leading by example right now. I'm bad at coaching as well. Good centre-back, but not captain material. I'll ask you quickly, any chance of Maguire losing the captaincy? Is that a bad move?
Probably would be a bad move, but I didn't necessarily agree with him getting it in the first place.
I
think you've got to earn the United captaincy a little bit more than he had, but losing it, I think, would be...
He seems like a confidence player, doesn't he? Which is weird for a centre-back, because he's usually just full of himself, but he's not. Brian Malone says, last year Liverpool had to pay City compensation for hacking their scouting system. Look it up. This is the sort of ruthlessness we need. Yeah, there was. I forgot about that, because it sort of slips under the radar, isn't it? Captain Jack Sparrow says, any possible way to get Glazers out of the club?
Not legal.
Yeah.
I think loads of illegal ones.
Yeah, but we won't go down that foot because our lawyers are on order. Leo Man United says, okay, cool. So if Ollie's gone this season, who would you take? We had this the other week. Did you say Ten Hag? Was he one of your preferences? I know there's not.
Ten Hag's in the mixer. I think Laurent Blanc. Everyone's going to go, oh, he's doing shit in Qatar. Okay, do you know anything about Qatar football? Because I don't. I think James Rodriguez is playing for him.
Taking it seriously, then
the end of his career is the truth, right? He had a pretty good, probably about, I think it's like 3 or 4% better than what Pochettino's currently is, and he didn't have Messi when he was PSG manager. Yeah. I don't know if he had Neymar actually. Certainly didn't have Mbappe either. Yeah. So draw whatever conclusions you want. But PSG aside, because I think much like being a Celtic manager, I'm not sure what the fuck that means, winning that title with that team.
I know that not winning it isn't very good.
That's a good point. However, what he did with Bordeaux, he had a win rate with Bordeaux at 58%, which is frankly ridiculous.
Yeah.
With Bordeaux.
That is ridiculous.
And he won a title with Bordeaux. Yeah. That is impressive. And I think he sustained that over 4 or 5 years.
Don't you feel with Blanc that he's revered at United? Like, I always get this impression that, I don't know, whenever people talk about Blanc and whenever, you know, whenever you speak to players.
If we're being
stuff,
honest with ourselves, he was a bit shit, wasn't he?
I know.
By the time we got him, he was very much a bit shit.
He seems to have that sort of air of like...
We also bought him on the back of Stam going, so you've just gone from an all-action superhero to a librarian looking fucker who was a bit old.
Yeah, that's it. And yeah,
so the contrast didn't really do him a lot.
Yeah, you're right, because it was weird, but yeah, you still get the idea.
I never asked Rio about what he thought about Blanc.
Ah, yeah, because he obviously...
would have played with him.
Yeah, because he was... We never saw Rio on Stam, did we? Which is a travesty.
No, what a...
But that's... It's over then, isn't it? Let's just... You know what I mean? That's the two best centre-backs ever.
Stam's Rio was talking, like, he said... Never really had this conversation with Vidic. He goes, but I definitely thought it a lot. He goes, the way people used to talk about Pallister and Bruce annoyed me. Really? He goes, and I was like, when they finish... They're not going to talk about Pallister and Bruce. It's going to be fucking Rio and Vidic. He goes, that was a thought that he was consciously saying to himself. He goes, I never said it to Vidic. He goes, but he was like, some like eyes and like, not fucking be talking about them in 5 years.
Point. He's got a kind of point in it because
they definitely eclipsed those two.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? One thing that annoys me a little bit as well is how people forget about how good Bruce and Pallister was. Or not forget, you might be too young, but they don't get enough recognition because... just winning titles all the time and scoring loads of goals and doing what you matter to do. Phony Grow says, sorry to bring the coaching back up. He loves it. Arsenal hired an army for Arteta to coach this team this season. It helped. Ollie's not coaching. I mean, does that help? Is that a big thing? Has Ali not got enough in the backroom staff? Or is it?
Ultimately,
answer,
all
is
we
it?
Can do is look at the results on the pitch. And I would say the results on the pitch aren't good enough. And that's, you can see some coaching on the pitch and no, it's not good enough without actually having to be at training. I don't know if... I mean, the players I've spoken to said the training's great. And I can only go off the back of that. And they say they feel well prepared. So if it's if they were saying different things, I'd tell
would
you.
Would they tell
not.
You if it was a bit... Would
the
be,
people
would
I'm
be,
talking to, absolutely.
Yeah, they would
and
say
they've,
like,
they've
oh,
also said...
Steve, this is awful.
Put it this way. I know players who don't like McKenna.
Right.
That have left the club.
Yeah.
But they've not... They don't dislike him on the back of his coaching. They're still complimentary of his coaching, which I think tells you that's a very real thing.
Yeah.
There's a player that's left the club who I'm pretty good in contact with, who had a personal thing with him.
Yeah.
And that's, he keeps it as like, look, we fell out on this. We both disagreed. And, you know, apart from that, he was a good coach.
Lent him money and I just didn't pay him back. One of them ones. Borrowed his car.
I think he said he told him he wasn't going to make it.
That's always the confidence booster you need when a young player at Manchester United.
If a coach tells you you're not going to make it and you can still be complimentary about how he coaches, that tells me that there's probably truth in what you're saying.
Listen, I'm with you. You said it earlier, you know, you've not sort of... I know you listen to talks of players and stuff, but you're not there for the sessions. And I think it's easy to start pulling
your finger. And I am trying my hardest to get into a session. I'll get in there one day. I don't know who's going to get me in, but I'm getting in there.
I think there's a route there. You can do it. You've got contacts. Ali Unsaid says, considering the success of the protest last summer, do you think having a yearly protest against the Glazers will help keep them more accountable?
Yeah, do it 22nd of May every year. Fuck it.
Yeah, like, we can have a little party, can't we? It's like, put it in the calendar. I'll tell you one thing. I don't mind protesting. I'll join him in protest against Glazers. I'm not going to any protest against the manager. That's just ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? I think, yes, you can criticise and say you don't think he's good enough, but arranging a protest against the manager, I just think it's just...
Hang on. Someone said the new Robbo documentary, there's a topic for you. I ain't seen it yet. You've seen it?
No, maybe not. Should we have a viewing?
I thought we were getting it.
I thought we were, but it's not arrived, so I don't know. We'll have to make some calls.
And then say, also, when's the Rooney documentary out? Is that you saying there should be a Rooney documentary? Because, one, I agree.
No, there's one out. Is it on Amazon or whatever it is?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's and it's Noel's bad, bro. He's like, he's talking about, you know, off-the-pitch activities and Colleen's in it, and they're not shirking away from the juicy topics. So, you know, it's the one that sort of, you know, it'll cover everyone there. Even if you're not that into your football, you might be into a bit of the gossip. I wonder if Rebecca Vardy's in it.
She's got a chapter. There's no way she's not got a chapter.
That'd be like,
that was a seminal football Twitter moment, what, about 3 years ago?
That was a seminal moment in the history of the internet. eh? That was like proper detective work.
Sensational shit.
I think the Rooneys are actually low-key detectives.
I don't like gossip and shit. Like, I ain't got time for that sort of shit.
Come on, but that was elite.
I was on it that day.
I like the fact that
we was all in there, weren't we?
Yeah, yeah. It was mint. And I love the fact that like when Rooney couldn't get hold of his chairman, he borrowed the doctor's phone to get hold of him. The chairman's answering. Hey, you all right? He's like, it's Wayne.
Oh, fucking dick. Ask me phone now, will you?
We're going to wrap it up there. Make sure you are subscribing to the channel. We'll get 700,000 subscribers by the end of the season. And with your support, we can do it. What are you up to this weekend? Do me yourself.
We had a game fucking cancelled.
It's not like you. Game's cancelling. What's going on here?
Fucking wank. We had a team pull out on us last week because of COVID. This week, all the fucking management resigned for the team that we're playing tomorrow. And they've asked us, can we postpone it?
No is the answer. I don't care if you haven't got management.
I could demand the points, but I'd rather play, Jay. I'm here for the sport.
Doing well, as well, aren't you, your team, on a roll.
I'm annoyed that we're not getting it, yeah. Hey. So,
he's here for the sport. It sounds like some out of the Roman times, like a gladiator.
Here for the sport, Jay. I want to play the matches. We've got a big cup game next week.
Man, that kid at the process. I'm just there for the buzz, mate. Go on.
We've got a massive, massive cup game next week against Denton.
Denton.
Ooh. Beat us 4-0 in pre-season, right? So massive revenge. Cup game. Yeah. If we win, we're into the semi-final of the Manchester FA Cup, right? It's legit. It's like the Champions League for our level, right?
Fair shout.
There are a couple of leagues above us. I wanted to go into it on the back of a couple of games and a couple of wins, you know what I mean? And I've had COVID postponement and a fucking everyone left us postponement. I've been trying to get a friendly. Listen, I'll tell you what. If you can get an 11 together and you've got a pitch that you can play us tomorrow afternoon, I'll bring 11 lads and we'll come and fuck you up if you want.
That's a nice prospect, isn't it? There's an invite just that no one could say no to.
I was telling you before, I'll tell these lots. So we're in the Premier Division. We're joint top of the Premier Division.
Yeah.
There's Division 1, 2, 3, and then it gets lettered A, B, and C. Ooh. Our third team, our development team, are in Division A.
Right.
And the league just messaged us, say, hey, there's a team in Division B that's just had a COVID pullout. They've got their own pitch. They'll play in a friendly. I was like, oh, sweet. I was like, they're not going to say yes, are they? So Dave, secretary, rang them up. Yeah, they said fuck off.
Rightly so as well. Fair play to them. That sounds like it could get a bit messy. So make sure you're checking out Paddock FC anyway, because when the game starts as well, up again, you'll be able to check out all their highlights and all that other stuff. You know where to find him, all over the internet. And when's the Wenger stuff out? When's the company?
Company's out Monday, I believe.
Monday. So, you know, if you want to go and check that out, make sure you are doing. This has been The Brew. I've been Jay Motti. That's been Stephen Allison. Thanks for watching. Sports Social Podcast Network.